to extend Christian greetings to each one of you here tonight and trust that as we look at this subject, we can be edified and strengthened. As was mentioned, the subject that was given to me was practical nonconformity, and it's actually interesting. Those are not words we find in our King James Bible as such, but I think we're very familiar with the background of where this is coming from. Probably most of us would think of Romans 12, verse 2, first of all, where the Apostle Paul would teach us that, verse 2, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That is probably the first verse we think of and look at when we think of nonconformity. And there's other words we think of. Sometimes you may have heard it said that nonconformity and non-resistance are two things that often stand or fall together. If there is a church group that loses out on one, the other will go as well. You can also think of the word separation, kind of a synonym to nonconformity. And one thing that really surprised me as I looked at the definition of these two words, I actually learned something new about the English language there, the word practical. It's a word we use all the time, but if you look in the dictionary, the one meaning is having to do with action or practice rather than thought or theory. And that was a little bit of a new thought to me, that this is actually, it's an action or a practice. It's not just a thought or a theory that we hold. It's more than that. So that was kind of a new twist to that word I would have not claimed to understand, being that's a word we use very commonly. Another meaning comes in as sensible, fit for actual practice. You know, there's things that are practical, there's things that are impractical. And nonconformity, you can think of a lack of conformity is, or a failure or refusal to conform. And one meaning that comes up is also the thought in the dictionary of failure or refusal to conform to an established church. That's actually a meaning they put in the dictionary. It's like, and perhaps as you think of humanity, and there's a sense where you could say, now that varies based on our personality, I would say, but some people maybe like to be a nonconformist more naturally than others. Others feel the pressure of the group they're part of and want to fit into that. I had to think of some examples apart from scripture of the nonconforming idea. Just reading through the obituaries, I came across a 26-year-old man that was killed in a motorcycle accident about a week ago, not too far from our area. And in the announcement pertaining to the memorial service or the celebration of life, the family was suggesting that people could wear casual attire, and even more specifically, Carhartt is what they suggested would be something to wear to this service. It just kind of stood out to me what they were asking for. And if you pay any attention to the senators from this state, you know we have one that's a nonconformist in his dress. We have one that's famous for wearing a hoodie and shorts and refusing to conform to the dress-up standard of the body he is a part of. So the whole thing of nonconformity, that's not exactly what we're going to think about tonight. I'm just throwing that out there as an example of the thought of nonconformity can be a thing of not conforming to the accepted practice or standard of whatever it might be. And I think if you think of Romans 12 and verse 2 there, we do understand that it's not just, well, okay, there the focus is be not conformed to this world. The Christian is specifically exhorted to not be conformed to this world, but rather to be transformed and to have a renewed mind. But practical nonconformity, I think I could say safely that we make it practical as you and I do something, as we actively, like that meaning says, action or practice. And I think it becomes most practical. It's not just for me to say you need to do it or you think I should do it, but we all need to be doing this, practical nonconformity. And I hope till the end of the message you understand the drive and the thrust of what is behind that. Just briefly thinking of a few verses that we have in our New Testament that, other than the one I already read, that use the word conformed or conformable. In Romans 8 and verse 29, we have a verse that tells us, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now there, that is the positive. That is not the nonconformity. That is, we are called to be conformed to the image of his son. And I think in that we see the reverse, what we are called to not be conformed to this world. Philippians 3:10 also uses the word conformable. I think the phrase there is being made conformable unto his death. And that would come from the same, even though it's a slightly different form in our English, it comes from the same Greek word as the word in 8:29, which has the thought of being fashioned like unto, conformed, fashioned like unto. We're called to be fashioned like unto the Son and not conformed to the world. That's a slightly different original word there in Romans 12, where it has the thought of the same pattern, or fashion self according to. Think of the same pattern. What pattern are we following? What pattern are we looking at as we think of practical nonconformity? And when we think of nonconformity, many times we probably go to our appearance, our dress, and that is a part of it, but it's more than just that. Perhaps we focus on that more than others at times because it's what we perhaps see the most. Actions are not always as readily apparent to others looking on. They are, but they're not as visible and not as upfront all the time as how we appear, how we dress ourselves, or what kind of garments we put on. And I had to think, if you want to think back in history about the principle of nonconformity, what did that look like 200 years ago? Or what did it look like 2,000 years ago? And you could also say different parts of the globe perhaps affect, even today, where we live on the earth affects our frame of reference and what we are gauging things against. But I just had to wonder, as far as the dress issue especially, like say 200 years ago, how much different was there between the church versus the rest of society? I would just raise the question, I would expect we probably face more pressure in our day and deviations and the whole thing of fashion design that has those things continue to grow, even though we know that the anti-God spirit has always been around in the world, but as wealth increases, there's a whole lot of other things that go along with it. So I just raise that for your consideration to think about it. And, you know, how does that enter into this equation? And through all those years, we know that the principle given in Romans 12:2 still stands. Wherever we find ourselves and whenever a person lived in history, that same truth was applicable to them as well as to us. That's the beauty of the scripture, the enduring principle that continues on and does not change. Perhaps some of the finer details do as things change in society and things that we face perhaps are different. And I think before I go any further, I'm going to go to the book of 1 John. As you think of, I think we see in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 to 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Here we have the Apostle John asking us that we would not get sidetracked in the love of the world. Because it spells out there in verse 16 that the things that are in the world, you think of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it very plainly tells us here that that is of not of the Father, but it's of the world. It goes back to where that comes from and why we are told in Romans 12:2 to not be conformed to this world. It's not of the Father. It's not what we are to be conformed to or what we are to fashion ourselves like unto. It's not going to continue. It's going to face the judgment of God in the end. From a biblical historical perspective, I had to think of I think we're going to take a time to look at just a few different verses in the Old Testament. As you think about some instruction that God gave to the children of Israel, in Numbers 15 and verse 38, he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they may make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a warring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." Now, I don't know. I didn't live back then, but do you think they liked that dictate that they were supposed to put this ribbon of blue on their garment? Do you think perhaps they said it only matters what's in our heart? You know, it doesn't matter what we put on the outside. Is that something we hear today? But I think scripture would bear out that God's intent was here. He wanted them to remember his commandments, it says, and be obedient to them, not to get sidetracked and go off after the other gods like they had so often done. To help them remember, it seems to be a thing of remembrance of his commands and to help them to continue in the right way. And then there's also perhaps a little bit different thought, but I had to think of the case there in 1 Samuel where they wanted a king. They came to Samuel and said, you know, you're getting old and your sons are not walking in your ways. It says, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And then also in the same chapter, well, we have Samuel kind of pointing out to them the downside of having a king, the things he was going to ask of them, the taxation, the service, and all of that. But it says the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And we know God did listen to their request there and gave them a king. And it certainly did not solve all their problems, we know that. But I guess the thought I was thinking of tonight there is they had this desire to be like the nations around them. Are we tempted to want to fit in with society, you know? How do we find it with the whole thing of nonconformity? What is the purpose? I think the purpose of practical nonconformity is to be more than just odd or strange. That is not the goal. And like I mentioned before, the nonconformist will seek to stand out by how different he can be from others. And that is not necessarily what we see in Scripture, even though many times it does create a huge difference between an unregenerate society. There are some reasons, like I mentioned there, like some of the verses I read already about not loving the world, but we cannot stop at the nonconforming. We need to also have the transforming. It needs to be the transformation as well for the nonconformity to come out at the right place. Perhaps one of the reasons we are called to nonconformity in the book of James, we have this little phrase in James 1:27, where part of pure religion is to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I think that is one practical reason you could say why we are not to be conformed to this world. I invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at that, a few verses in that chapter, just 17 and 18, I believe. We have the teaching on the unequal yoke, I believe, right ahead of this. And then in verse 17, he says, Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Again, that thought in that verse is very closely aligned to James, you could say, about keeping yourself unspotted from the world, or being separate and not touching the unclean things that are around us in the world. And I think that are some reasons we can see as we look into Scripture why we are called to be nonconformed. You know, there's also another truth I would mention here. We will be conformed to someone or something. We can't get away from that. We will be. So we need to make that choice. We need to make a choice what we are going to be conformed and nonconformed to. Thinking about just a few thoughts. I mentioned the thought of dress. I'm going to mention some other things as well, but you probably hear the You've probably heard over the years or have thought on the matter of the debate about appearance or dress, you could say, versus spiritual life within. Does our appearance, or is it, it's more than just our appearance that is a witness to those around us. I think we're all convinced of that, but you can think sometimes perhaps of things that are not as they ought to be. If you perhaps see a, quote, plain person wearing a hat, whether it's black or a straw hat, and he's in public smoking a cigarette or something, what does that do to you? Does that look like a consistent witness? And I think we would all agree that is a shame. Those things ought not to be. Perhaps he came from a different background. We know he came from a different background than some of us. Maybe part of why he does such a thing. But I ask you the question, what is his problem? We say he's nonconformed by the way it looks on the outside in a way. I mean, in the clothes he's wearing, he would appear to be nonconformed, but the action he's doing is not so good. That doesn't, we say it doesn't fit with his clothes. But then how many times do people say, well, the clothes, that's not where salvation is. It's in the heart. It's actually in the heart that really matters, you know, Christian liberty. We hear that being played up. The heart is what really matters. But don't you think that if our heart is truly cleansed, that will show up on the outside? You know, there's that whole thing. Do we use the, I guess my challenge here is let's not use the inconsistency of the transgression of someone wearing plain clothing committing a thing we think is just totally out of limits. Let's not say that's cause or reason to throw away separated clothing, as it were. And again, I'm not saying there is not one place where that has to come out at. We are all affected. We all have our frame of reference. And in many ways, it's similar, perhaps, but yet there are different things that have played into where we find ourselves today. Let's not go down the road of Protestant teaching where we think the preaching or the teaching is sound, but we know that when it comes to a separated lifestyle, it's not there. Not being conformed. And sometimes I wonder if we aren't facing some influence from Protestant teaching. Sometimes the thoughts that come up in Sunday school make me wonder. It's like, what are these people listening to? Even perhaps you could say here in the book of Acts, we're having some things, you know. How do we see the book of Acts? Do we understand the apostolic era was a once and done and we're not looking to recreate or relive that? Let's not imbibe teaching that downplays the importance of separated life, or you could say holy life there as well. You know, in a lot of ways you could say Protestant teaching is almost sound, but in practical nonconformity it's totally missing, and also there's other false doctrines in there, one of the big ones probably being unconditional eternal security. I know there's a church that asks their members not to listen to any other religious teachings. I'm not sure if that's the podcast thing or what is in focus there, but there is a good reason behind that. Do we know who we are listening to? Do we know how they are living? And another question for you to ponder, can we overemphasize nonconformity? And I don't know that we can unless we think it's all external, and it is not. Nonconformity is more than the external. True nonconformity will change our whole life from the inside out. It's not a putting on, a wearing of a garment as such, and yet it cannot be hidden. I mentioned before that it's more than our clothes. It will affect the places that we go. You know, for example, do we go to the local fair? Do we go to the farm show? Do we go to the horse show? Or do we simply stay away from those places? Because we don't want to partake of the same entertainment that the world is going after. And some of those things, we cannot say that they are strictly sin as soon as you do them, and yet we are much better to be. Are we being practical about it? Are we being nonconformed? Are we being separate? We need to remember that. Do we stay away from those places that really do not help us in our walk with the Lord? And our actions, are they in keeping with biblical nonconformity, not being conformed to the world? I was going to bring a church periodical along that had some things in that had some really good points in, then I forgot, so I wrote it down to the best of my memory. I'm not going to have it all, which maybe is good, but they were talking about apostasy in the old Mennonite church, and I think most of us, even though this was before my time, back in the 1960s, some of the changes that were sweeping into the church, as I recall, the article talked about first they started thinking like the world, and then they started dressing like the world, and the next step is to live and act like the world. I'm not sure if I have that perfectly laid out, but the thinking, and gave the account of one person saying after the church had lost its nonconformed dress, one person asked the question, if this is a church, where is the world? Just think about that. The whole thing, because I mentioned before, and I think that article bore that out as well, that we will either be conforming more to the image of Christ or we will be conforming more toward the world. You know, it will take us one way or the other. And sometimes as you think of those things, sometimes direction of travel can be more important than where we are at a specific given of time. Which way are we headed? Which way is our nonconformity? Is it growing weak? Is it falling by the wayside? Are we wanting to lay that down? We don't want to look different than the world. Just mention a little bit about, you know, sometimes it seems we run across people that would seem to have an anti-Mennonite spirit and resist conforming to some of the guidelines that are offered as application to Scripture. And perhaps one of the things that is a lightning rod or draws attention at times can be the plain suit. And I have observed people that have gone from resisting that and don't misunderstand me. I am not trying to say there is salvation in a plain suit. There isn't unless a saved person puts one on. That's the only way that is. But I guess in my own personal journey, an older man one time said that it answers the question of what shall we wear, and that gave me a tremendous amount of peace, and I just liked his statement on that. But I have seen people that will resist that whole thing and go down the anti-Mennonite road, and I'm not saying we're perfect, we're far from it. We have plenty of problems, but to resist that bears very bad fruit. They do not want to conform to that dress standard, but you wait and watch long enough after they've gone full circle, just being against all of that, they somehow can conform to the dictates of the world and pull on a suit and necktie with seemingly no problems? Or do they still have that same problem? They don't want to wear the suit and necktie. I don't know. If they pulled it on, you wonder. I have seen that track, and again, I am not in any way implying there is salvation in that, but some of the resistance against it, where is that inspiration and motivation coming from? I think we need to think about that. And again, area and culture can make a difference. I'm not saying you need to live in a warm part of the world and pull on your suit because this really matters. That's not where I'm at all. But some of the resistance that comes from that, being nonconformed, who are we conforming to? I have a little bit of an outdated decree booklet here. I don't know why I couldn't find the updated one, and maybe some things were changed here, but you know, one of the sections we have in there is Articles 4 is separation and nonconformity, and the one verse is Romans 12, 2. And again, if you go through that, it has different headings. It talks about the Lord's Day, it talks about funerals, automobiles, Christian attire, and of course it spends more time on that one than some. And one of the letters under that particular section is nonconform to fads and fashions. You know, and you could ask the question, well, what fashions, is it fads and fashions in the world, or is it fads and fashions in the church, or is it both of them we need to be nonconformed to? Perhaps you can think of, yeah, the question is how satisfied or dissatisfied are we, that are we looking for something else? If we are looking and chafing at being nonconformed to some of these things that we need to stay away from, it can be a real test to us. And quoting another thing that was in that article, it talked about they kept the written standard where it was, and that helped the older people feel good about it, but there was drift and there was departing from what was written by the younger generation. But somehow, if you leave written what is written, it makes you feel better. Well, I guess what matters the most, the written standard or the accepted standard? I think we're going to be judged by what we are doing, which is we can write whatever we want on paper. If we're not heeding it and if we're not abiding or living by it, it's going to do us no good. It's actually a false security, I believe. Be not conformed to this world. You know, there is pressure from the world to come and be a part of them. And you can think of the broad road. There's a lot of ways you can come to that. You can dress however you feel like. I mean, anything goes, anything fits, or anything's accepted. Just be part of that whole broad road to destruction. The nonconformed path, nonconformed to the world specifically, is a little narrower. There are things we need to put off, and there are things that we cannot do. And along the line of a totally different thought, I was going to mention this earlier when I was mentioning some of the different things about places we go, things we do, even how we look at business life. Do we learn from the world how to run a business? Don't know if you heard about companies that get outside consultants in to try to tell them how to run their business better. And most times those people are trying to teach worldly philosophy, is what it amounts to, if you stop and look at it. I mean, we understand it is scriptural to buy and sell and get gain, but that should not be our God. That should not cause us to lay aside other principles of the Word of God that we need to adhere to. if we are going to make money the ultimate goal, we will be laying aside other things and we will be conforming to that whole world system. I think that's another one. There's just a few of them that came to my mind as I thought about this practical nonconformity. Where are we learning? Where are we learning from? Especially when you take that how you run a business. I know years ago there was some companies that went after that and they pretty near went under financially following that advice, because if you looked at it, the whole business was actually built upon good service principles and being willing to, you know, operate according to the golden rules, one you could think of. We all appreciate when people deal with us the way we, you know, it comes and it goes both ways. It's not all about making the ultimate dollar. We're glad for those that are operating according to scriptural principles, and there is a blessing in that, even if a person is not a Christian, you know, quote, honest principles. But as the people of God, we certainly should not be learning an undue amount from worldly consultants. There's a place, I mean, I'm not saying we don't use help from others, we do, but when it comes to the principles or promoting the theory that make enough money so you can go enjoy life on the beach, that is not a Christian concept at all. That is so far removed. I trust we're all clear of that. And really in our occupations, I think we need to have a service mentality in that as well as other parts of life as well. If we're truly following Jesus and growing like him, what do we see as we look at his life here on earth? He was serving others from start to finish. That's all he did. And he yielded himself to the Father's will. Practical nonconformity. It's going to make us stand out as different from those around us. And one of the thoughts that had came up earlier, as I had mentioned, the thought of thinking like the world. One thought that came to me, I'm not sure if I have a good answer on it, but I think we should all think about it personally, is the matter of our phones and how we use them. Are they a threat to us staying nonconformed people? You know, again, there is insidious ways the things that we read and the things that we perhaps follow get into our mind and affect the way we think, and that is the starting board for going down the wrong road. Do we start thinking like the world if we're exposed to it? And I'm not in any way suggesting that ignorance is bliss, that we just shut everything out and live in our own little cocoon or little island. That's not possible either, but I think it's something we ought to think about. It's a practical thing we face in our day. How are we handling that, and how is that affecting our view on various aspects of life? You know, practical nonconformity. Sometimes we hear the thought that we should come to Jesus just as we are, and that's true. We have to come to Jesus like we are, but we cannot stay like we are. He needs to make a change in us. And, you know, he will cleanse us as we respond in faith and allow him to do his redemptive work. Going a little bit further on the thought there of, you know, our dress. I mentioned the places we go, things we do, business life. You could perhaps say, in other words, a lifestyle, but the lifestyle itself does not save us. Sometimes I hear people talk about it's the lifestyle. Well, yes, it is, and yet the lifestyle needs to be the fruit of a changed life because of faith in the work of Christ. We we do not put faith in that lifestyle, because it's possible to have a different lifestyle and still be, to have a form but not have the power. And I do not want to hold that in front of you either tonight. I want you to be clear that those that have been redeemed, you remember what it said about the apostles, that they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that is what needs to shine forth. Is that how we are responding to the things we face in life? And certainly we are tested in a lot of different ways, perhaps many more times than we think, and people are watching us. What choices are we making, and what message does those choices send to those that are looking on? The lifestyle we live needs to show that we have been redeemed and that we are separated from the uncleanness of the world. Or perhaps another way you could say it is it shows whose people we are. Are we tonight the people of the living God? Or are we people of the world, which is under Satan's domain? In Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4, we have the judgment of Babylon here. You think of the whole anti-God, the system of this world that is opposed to God and his plan of redemption. In verse 4, it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, if that isn't a good encouragement that shows us the reason we ought to be nonconformed to the world, I don't know what is. We need to be separated. We need to come out from the people of the world so that we do not need to partake of the judgment that God is ultimately going to bring upon them. Practical nonconformity. It's something for you and I to all exercise ourselves in. And I trust that these few thoughts tonight have been a challenge and an inspiration. Certainly you can study more into that yourself as well, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart, and I trust that has been an inspiration. Let's kneel for a word of prayer here.